Blog Talk Radio.
ultimatesportstalk.com, Gridiron Blitz everywhere on the web. And you can also go to our shop at Zazzle.com/Gridiron Beauties. Alongside the beautiful Erica Lynn Anderson, Oscar Lopez. Great action this weekend in the women's game, top to bottom in both leagues, in the IWFL and the WFA. We're going to kick off the show, unfortunately, on a bad news because we lost a coach-owner in the IWFL. Cheryl Jacobs passed away this past week. She was the owner of the Chattanooga Locomotions. There was a forfeit game. Hats off to the Carolina Phoenix and the league. Unfortunately, she passed away this week, a pioneer in sports. And we want to give a shout-out to everybody involved in our condolences to the family and friends of Cheryl Jacobs. And we want to make sure that everybody knows she was an amazing person and a contributor to the sport of women's gridiron. So, Erica, welcome to the show. Sunday almost over. So, actually, June now. Unbelievable.
It is. Hello, everybody. That's really sad to hear.
Yeah, unfortunately, it just happened out of the blue from what we know at this point. Cheryl was really a good owner and a good contributor to the sport in the Independent Women's Football League, and she was the owner of the Chattanooga Locomotion. And unfortunately, you know, we've lost a good person and a great contributor to the sport as well.
Yeah.
So we are going to kick off the weekend action into the playoff mode. And if you want to give the Locomotion local ladies on Twitter, @localladies on Twitter, you can give your condolences to them on the Twitter feed. You can always go to their Facebook page at Chattanooga Locomotion, and you can always go to the IWFL page, IWFLsports.net, and you can go there and link out or send an email out to them and give your condolences on that. The big news out of this weekend's games was the New York Sharks reaching their 100-game milestone, 100 games in the women's game for the franchise, and they win 31-18 versus the Washington Prodigy. A great game there. You can also watch the Passion versus Sharks May 24th game, a timeline. It's part of RMG Sports, as well as you can go to the PhiladelphiaPassion.com site, and it's on their YouTube channel. It's an amazing game, really exciting, and it's great to see. Sort of like the LFL does week to week on a delay motion, the Passion have been able to do that. And so take advantage, fans. You're seeing amazing receivers, Angela Baker, Rachel Werkowski, if I mispronounce her name, I apologize, and Lisa Horton. So Coach W, that's what I'll call her, Coach W, Lisa Horton, and Angela Baker out there in the Philadelphia Passion Land. So check it out, May 24th. It's on our timeline, or like I said, you can go to the YouTube page for the Pittsburgh Passion. Some of the Week 8 kind of games that went into play here. Phantoms win against the Quakes, hand them their second loss of the season, 21-6. So the Phantoms and the Phoenix Phantoms are in good position to own their division in the same division. So they're up one game, so they can keep track on that. They go into Week 9 against the NC Stars. The NC Stars, big game, big win, 48-0 was their rebound game for them, but they win. So NC Stars versus Phantoms next weekend. Big matchups. This week was Nighthawks taking on the Queens, 38-8, and they did a great great game there. Keystone Assault, 21-0 over the Philadelphia Firebirds. So that was a Pennsylvania State rivalry there. The surprising Madison Blaze this year, 27-0 over the Iowa Crush. So as we go into week 9 in the IWFL, we are looking at rivalry week towards the playoffs. So about 3 weeks left in that season. You're looking at the Wisconsin Warriors next week showing up against Erie Illusion. The Blaze taking on the Minnesota Vixen. You got the NC Stars taking on the Phantoms. Energy, and surprising enough, Jen Welker, who was playing for the Texas Revs, ends up showing up in Houston as the Energy took on the Power. It was an interleague game, IWFL versus WFA. 35-13, the IWFL squad wins. And the reason for that, more than likely, is because the former Dallas Diamonds squad, it's in the Houston Energy squad. So hats off to them, former Dallas Diamonds team members. I think it's roughly 6 of them. They're playing for the Energy, so that boosts the Energy as a competitive state in the IWFL for sure. So hats off to Jen Welker for dual duty, kind of the Bo Jackson mentality there. We're playing in the men's semi-pro and then playing a couple games here in the ladies during the season. So Baltimore takes on Washington, Baltimore Nighthawks, Washington Prodigy, big matchup next week in the IWFL, as well as the clash of the Blitz, Montreal Blitz, taking on the New York Sharks, and you can watch that game on the New York Sharks Network, Women's Football Network, and we will have the link up there as soon as they link it up to us. And then the Battle of Pennsylvania, the undefeated Passion will take on the Philadelphia Firebirds. Firebirds looking to rebound after a 21-0 loss against Keystone Assault. It's kind of a sad situation that Philadelphia Passion and Keystone Assault do not meet in any game during the week-to-week of this season. That's kind of a shame for fans. It's going to be at the point where they get to the playoffs where they're going to meet. So it would have been better scheduled that way if the Assault and the Passion would have met at least twice in the season. That would have been very competitive football. Drop offer to the WFA. Fusion Columbus, that was a hot game, 23-12. Fusion still intact for playoff run once again in this season. Toledo Ring, 37-0 versus the Pittsburgh Force. So Toledo fans, I know you haven't got to see your LFL squad, the Crush, play, but go out and see the Toledo Ring because they're real women, real football. You don't have to wait for the Crush to play. So check out the Toledo Ring live, 37-0, and they're going to be a force to be reckoned with going towards the playoffs. The Detroit Dark Angels, 12-10 versus the West Michigan Mayhem. The Titans, 7-0, 20-7 over the Michigan Machine. And the Titans are going to face their rival, the Nebraska Stampede, next week in Week 10. Seattle Majestics, 48-3 against their rival in the Philadelphia Fighting Phillies. Everett Rain lose to the Shockwave, 8-3. We talked about that division in the Northwest. It's really hot. Right now, it is literally neck and neck. Who's going to try to match up and compete with the Majestics at this point? Majestics are on a roll, and next week, that division features the Blitz taking on the Shockwave for gains, see if anybody can move up to the standings there. Seattle Majestics take on their rival, the Everett Rain, and the big clash next week in the WFA, the San Diego Surge, versus the Cal War Angels one more time, round 2 in the regular season, and we'll see if the Angels come to play this time around, because last time San Diego pretty much did a good job on them. In the Florida swing, the Inferno and the Fury meet once again, round 2 there, or actually round 3, I believe, on that, and the Comets and Force, Chicago faces Columbus one more time. There's always a tough battle there, and the Boston Militia return to action against the DC Divas, taking there, so the shout-out goes to the international scene out in Spain. Congratulations to the Barcelona Buffaloes, who defeated the Barbera rookies in the championship there, the LCFA 7th season title. So congratulations to them, and we'll look forward to the season. The Italian League, we will get the results out for you this weekend in terms of Week 3 as well. And the LIBF results as they come in, and the PGFL. So I'm kind of out of breath already, Erica. Can you tell? So let's move on to the NFL news and notes.
I will be too.
So a lot of action going on in the women's game, for sure, and especially it's going to get a lot more intensive as we get into the playoffs in the next 2 or 3 weeks. So kind of exciting times there. If you guys are inclined to email us for anybody wants to be on the show, any coaches, players, anybody wants to be on the show, please email us at gridironbeauties@gmail.com, gridironbeauties@gmail.com. You can inbox us on Facebook, or you can always direct message us on Twitter. So, Erica, let's go into the NFL swing of news and notes, especially right here before mini camp starts. So what kind of things are going on in the NFL at this point?
Well, you know, there's still a couple of free agents, floating around out there, some big names too. Kind of one I'm excited about is JerMichael Finley, tight end, obviously, played with the Packers. He was out last year with a neck injury. But the Seahawks just kind of recently dropped out. They were interested, but they have said that they're not anymore. So I guess the Packers and the Giants are interested, so Packers are probably interested in re-signing. And then they're speculating that Finley visited the Patriots, but nobody has confirmed that. You know how Belichick likes to keep things secret. So as a Patriots fan, I am crazy excited about the possibility of Finley coming to the Patriots.
So now, Erica, is this kind of like a Peyton Manning mentality with the injury in his neck? Is it questionable? Do you think the Seahawks maybe saw something that they don't want to go into dealing with? Because everybody's being cautious is basically what's being presented right now. I mean, he's a quality player, but now with the injury factor, I think maybe everybody's looking twice or thinking twice.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, the injury that he had was obviously very serious, more serious than like an ACL tear or something. He did receive clearance from the neurologist who did the fusion in his vertebrae. He did receive clearance there. So, but any team interested in him, the team doctor has to clear him as well before they'll sign him. So it may have been something that it didn't really say that the Seahawks doctor, I don't even know if it got that far. He just had one visit in free agency to Seattle. So it could be salary cap issue with Seattle. I'm not sure, but I think for sure team doctors are going to be looking pretty close to make sure that he can hold up long term, and not only money side, but you want to make sure he's not injured permanently, because that would just be awful.
Yeah, and that's a sad situation to be in too, because now for him too, is it going to be the right fit, impact wise? Now we got the questions about, how durable he is. I guess the teams are going to be thinking twice about signing him.
Yeah, and a player, is a tight end versus like a Peyton Manning. A quarterback gets sacked, but, not crazy often if your O-line's doing what they should. But a tight end who's out there very physical position, they're blocking or they're catching, which catching, makes them vulnerable out on the field for hits. And so a position at a tight end versus quarterback and a surgery like that, there's going to be quite the difference in the way the situation's handled. So,
yeah. So what else is on the horizon?
Well, I know probably everybody's really surprised, but Josh Freeman was released by the Giants. So try to quell the gasps of surprise there.
Josh Freeman to the Giants?
He was released by the Giants.
Wow. He hasn't been the same since he left Tampa. And so it's got to be a mental issue there. I don't mean not brain-wise. It's just got to be a confidence factor. When you get thrown from Tampa to Minnesota and now you go to New York and you get released, I mean, there's got to be kind of a situation where he's got to get back to some sort of mental stability, because he's a good quarterback. I think it's got to be the right system, the right fit for him.
Yeah, exactly. He hasn't found that yet. You would think that Tampa would have been the right fit because, he's mobile and he runs and it didn't work out in Tampa. Minnesota absolutely was the worst place for him. As far as their system, I don't know why they were interested in signing him, but he needs to find a team that they, you know, can build around him. And I can't think of any off the top of my head right now where he could go, especially with the draft just happening and people kind of loading up. To me, it looks like 2014 will be spent as probably a backup.
Yeah, and that's probably ideal for him right now.
Yeah. Yeah, like you said, he needs his confidence back, you know. Just like we saw with Matt Schaub, I think, you know, when a quarterback loses their confidence and they can't lead the team, it just ends in disaster.
Yeah, I agree. What's happening with you know, going into mini camps? You talked about everybody talked about Dallas, and I get so bored this time of year because Dallas becomes the soap opera of everything until we build up to the regular season. But you get anything else going on besides Dallas?
Besides Dallas, Ed Reed said that he's not retiring, but he won't sign until the season starts, probably. So there you go.
So that's Ed Reed?
That's just, yeah. So I just got that. He's a free agent, obviously, so, but he's not planning to retire, but he may not sign until the season begins, but which to me is like, what if nobody wants you when the season begins? What do you do then? And then you just...
Yeah, and you got to understand, he's older, too. He's kind of like in the Revis stage of everything. So at some point, you know, the teams are just not going to look at them anymore, you know, and they have to realize... Their career is in at a certain point. And I know, I'm talking as a fan. You have no idea. But at the same time, you have to have an idea of retirement. You've got to get into that mindset where you're going to walk away. I mean, I have to applaud Jerry Rice for walking away at a certain time, and now he's, you know, he's not crippled and not walking and anything like that. He did his time. He won his rings, and he walked away. So I think you have to be strong-willed it that way, too. You have to think about the future beyond football. And I think a lot of players don't do that. They get too comfortable within that realm of playing within that game mentality that they forget about reality after football.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know they love the game, and I know that, you know, you must miss it when you leave it, when that's been your whole life since probably you started playing in peewee leagues. You know, I get that. But at the same time, like you said, you have to plan for the future and plan. If you have a family, you jeopardize that and not be able to, you know, walk or walk well. You know, it's definitely something that their agents or some, I guess their agents make money off of them, so they probably don't want to talk about that. But somebody, you know, around them professionally needs to say, hey, this is something you need to be thinking about. But yeah.
All right. So any Jets news that we should know about? I know we can leave the Dallas news for last because, like I said, every year it's the same thing. The NFL Network, I guess, is owned by Jerry Jones for some
Jerry
reason.
Jones?
Because every year before mini camp and before OTAs, we get the, you know, the Romo report and the Dallas report. It's just it's getting old. You know what I mean?
I know. And it's pretty much like it was last year, minus, you know, maybe a couple people, but they just transpose them with people that create just as much drama. So, the Jets, this is, I don't know how, you know, you can, these are players' reports, so you don't know how valid this is, but that somebody said that Geno Smith is the offense for the Jets and that right now it isn't a quarterback competition in New York. So they said it's Geno Smith's job to lose. That's what Taj Boyd said. So, I don't know.
So, as a Patriots fan, you must be thrilled that their decision has been made and that you have no real threat to look forward to in the season.
Yeah. You know, I would never, like, completely count anybody out because I think that that's a huge mistake. But, yeah, the Jets just, they can't get it together. And, you know, I don't know what the deal is over there. We've talked about it, I know, a ton of times. But even if they put Vic in there, Vic doesn't worry me a ton. You know, he's older. He's injury-prone at this point. If anything, the quarterbacks don't matter. To me, it's, you know, signing Eric Decker and the running backs they've acquired. Or to me, if the Jets do anything, that's what it's going to come down to, is how Eric Decker and how these running backs perform.
And everybody should be happy in New York right now because on one flip side, you have a down so-called Giants team that's on the downswing. And then only you flip it over and you're like, oh, my God, the Jets have acquired all this talent. We are going to be in contention. So there's a total low and then there's a total high in the same stadium. How ironic can that be?
I know. I think as a Jets fan that you would have whiplash by now. It would be very hard to be a Jets fan, I imagine, right about now, even the last couple of years. So, I feel bad for the fans. I do. I don't like the Jets, but I do feel bad for their fans.
Yeah. So, Erica, you're going to predict something right now. I'm going to put you on the spot. Johnny Football, does he take the Browns to the playoffs, or does he take the Browns to almost the playoffs?
No, he doesn't take them to the playoffs. I have my doubts whether he'll play the whole season. If he plays, I think it'll be last part of the season. They have Hoyer ahead of him right now. But no, I don't think that Manziel would do it the first year. The NFL is funny. Stuff happens. Sometimes people get in there and you're like, how did that even happen? But I don't think so. He's too immature. He's too untried at this point.
Somebody tweeted me saying, is Johnny Football another Tim Tebow? Do you think that'll turn out that way?
No. I don't think he's another Tim Tebow. Only because I think that Manziel would play maybe even any position he needed to succeed in the NFL. Tebow had the chance to go to a different position other than quarterback, and he didn't want to. I think that if Manziel's quarterback career didn't work out for whatever reason, that he would be willing to go to a different position. So I think that he would hang around the NFL. So.
Great. Any other news you got on the notes and notes?
Shanahan said that Manziel was very similar to RG3. I don't know how accurate that is, but I did read that. So.
Well, I mean, in some ways, I think he is when they're in the pocket presence, but he does have escapability, so I have to give him that. And he is a little bit more mobile in that sense, but RG3's got height, and I think that's one of the bad things for him because his height at the same time is an advantage and it's a disadvantage because he can be seen, where Johnny Football is not so tall that he can actually escape off the lines on the edges a lot better without having to get trapped so often. So I think there's two differences there.
Yeah. Well, Manziel's size does worry me only because when he does get hit, it's going to be bad. Being 5'11 in this game, it's dangerous. It's really dangerous when you have these big linemen looking to take you out. And like you said, RG3, his height is an asset only because he's bigger, meaning he can, withstand these hits. So that I think is a worrisome attribute of Manziel.
And Johnny Football plays in it's going to be the division that everybody's going to be focused on. So you got the Steeler defense, if they rebound. You got Cincinnati, who's been pretty good. You got the Ravens. So he will be tested. If he gets a chance to play, he's going to be tested against veteran quarterbacks. So that's going to be kind of cool to see.
Yeah, for sure. I agree. And then, I don't know if we want to talk about the team moving to L.A. like we talked about off air. That was something that came up in the news.
Yeah, I, to your point, I think really they need to move an existing team. We talked about it before because of economic purposes. You would have thought they would have moved the Chargers by now to Los Angeles and get a done deal down there. San Diego is great, but if they moved them to Los Angeles, they kept the market. I was telling you earlier that the Rams are pushing to move back to Los Angeles by 2016. That's all the news that I've gotten or notes that I've seen around the web. 2016 is their plan date. I'm assuming the NFL will either place another team in St. Louis and allow the Rams to transfer just like you know, basically like Cleveland moved to, you know, to Baltimore as an example. New existing team in Baltimore brought back the Browns. So I'm assuming at some point the NFL will do the same thing, maybe move the Rams to Los Angeles and then, you know, put an expansion team back in St. Louis just to fit the bill there.
Yeah, I think that makes the most sense. If they really want a team in L.A., I think they need to bring back the Rams to L.A. I know that would upset a lot of St. Louis people in St. Louis, but it does make the most sense if they're set on a team going to L.A.
And logistically, and it's more possible now because the owner, Mr. Kroenke of the Rams, he's got the resources to negotiate. He's into real estate. He owns many of sports teams. So he's got a lot to offer the city, not just on a you know, team only, but he's got a lot of entities that he can offer in terms of promotions and everything else. So I think they're better structured that way if they do make a deal with him and if the NFL does agree to it and the teams agree to that market.
Yeah. One thing I did, you know, with the latest linebacker from the Cardinals getting suspended for the 2014 season, is that the NFL needs to get more consistent on their how they're going to suspend, how they're going to handle the punishments for people, you know, violating the substance abuse policy, because, you know, you see the PEDs and all this stuff, and sometimes they're suspended for 4 games, and sometimes they're suspended for whole seasons. Or I just think that the league needs to get more consistent and a little better at handling that in general, you know?
Yeah, I don't know what the policy is. We might have to look into it, kind of dissect the policy, and then we can debate it more thoroughly in terms of what the policy is now and what we think maybe should change at that point. But, yeah, it's somewhat inconsistent, but I'm pretty sure it has to do with what type of drug they were using and what kind of things that drug would cause even more safety issues or harm. So I'm pretty sure they weigh those factors as well.
Well, and I'm sure it's probably, you know, I don't know, like this player from the Cardinals, I don't know if this is maybe his second or third offense. I'm not sure. But it could be that way, too. They suspend you for whole seasons when you violated it more than once. But I just noticed that when they come up in the news that this person gets this much, but this person, and it doesn't seem like there's a lot of information on what it is that they – how they violated the policy. So,
So we are going to wrap up now. We'll be back next week. Anybody that wants to be on the show in terms of the women's game, anybody that wants to be on the show in terms of a sports writer, just give us a buzz at gridironbeauties@gmail.com. You can direct message us on Twitter @gridironbeauty. You can also get a hold of Erica @pathfangirl12 to gridirongirl.org. So anybody that wants to, you know, be on the show, we more than welcome you on the show. We want to talk football, NFL, women's game, anything international-wise as well. You can visit the store, our Zazzle store. Everything that's put into the Zazzle store in terms of money is put back into a player promotion of some sort. So we're not making any money off of that. We are basically putting back two photographers and apparel to photographers, and we got a couple shoots lined up. The James J. Photo out of Philadelphia. We got Stefan Photography out of the Northwest. We're lining up some photo shoots, and in the coming weeks here, within the next 90 days, we should have some photo shoots with amazing women that play the gridiron. So if you want to check out the store, it's zazzle.com/gridironbeauties, and we have a contest going on right now on Twitter till June 7th. All you got to do is follow and retweet us, and we put you in the contest. It's for some No Joke Football leggings, a free pair of leggings. So if you want that, you go there. And we have a contest for a free shirt, No Joke Football shirt, on Instagram. The only thing you got to do on Instagram is use our @gridironbeauties when you post your picture so we know we get it and we know what it is, and then we randomly select those winners. So if you want to, go ahead and do the contest and hang out and watch the website as well. Check it out and give us some feedback. Erica, you got anything else going on at Gridiron Girls?
Nope, just check out our site, and, you know, for the goings-on, you can tweet me @PathFangirl12 and @GridironGirl.org. We love to hear from fans and discuss football and all that, and I do have to say I have a shirt. I have a No Joke Football shirt, and it is awesome. It's a long-sleeve shirt, and it's soft, and it's awesome. So And it's really good quality, too. It's worth the money, so you guys need to check it out.
Awesome. So for Erica Lynn Anderson, Oscar Lopez, we will see you here next week on the Gridiron Blitz, where we talk women's gridiron and NFL news and notes. You can also catch us on at ultimatesportstalk.com, where you can catch anything going on in sports, MMA, WWE, as well as the major sports. So check it out, ultimatesportstalk.com. That's our podcast as well, and any information on sports there. Have a great weekend, Erica, out in Montana. We will catch up next week, and we're looking forward to an hour format next week, get it all changed over, and going forward an hour format. So for the fans, thank you very much for all your support, and check us out next week on Gridiron Blitz. Have a great Sunday, everybody.
Have a great day, everybody.